Good morning, folks. It's good to be gathered today. And I'm especially grateful for those of you who are here. This first day after fall break, and it's cold and rainy, and there's just so many things that say stay home or go to Common Grounds. Maybe we should go over there and join them. We are dipping back into the Who Do You Say That I Am theme, and there'll be more chapels on this theme as we finish up the semester and launch into spring semester. Do let us know if you have someone that you're aware of who has a unique perspective or a developed perspective on who is Jesus in a particular context and what that means for them. We would like to know. If you suggest them as a chapel speaker, we would welcome that. Raymond Ziegler came to mind early on, but we're pleased to be further developing this theme and with you today. I want to introduce Raymond, and then Carmen will read the scripture passage that he selected for today. We wanted that to be fresh when you come and bring the message. Raymond Ziegler has been in and out of prison since he was 8 years old. He was released from SCI Greaterford Prison in 2010 after serving 20 years for a crime committed while under the influence of crack cocaine. While in prison, he received his bachelor's degree from Villanova University, received a scholarship for that as well. Through the Department of Behavior and Health Intellectual Disability Services, he received training as a certified peer and forensic specialist to better support men and women who want to live a life of recovery. Prior to coming to EMU for the Master's in Conflict Transformation course program with additional coursework at Eastern Mennonite Seminary, Raymond was employed at Greater Philadelphia Asian Social Services, working as a certified peer specialist facilitating weekly drug and alcohol outpatient group sessions, writing drug and alcohol progress notes, and helping men and women with employment and peer support. Raymond describes his own life as a story of true redemption of Christ, the true redemption of Christ.
Hear these words from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 1 to 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning, church. Praise the Lord. You know, as when I was asked to speak this morning, I was kind of thrown back. And I was like saying, Lord, just have your way. But before we get started, can I just entertain you for 1 minute? Can everybody stand on their feet, please? All right. I would like for you, the church, to take one step to your right, take one step to your right, and take one step to your left. All right. So if anybody asks you, how was my message this morning, you can say, he moved the whole church. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I just thank and praise God for the scripture this morning. Because it starts out, Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And it has many rooms. I love that passage. But I would like to complement that passage with another passage, with David. In Psalm 37:24, somewhere around there. And he says that a good man's steps are ordered by the Lord. Though he stumble, he should not be utterly cast down, because the Lord upholds him with his right hand. He didn't say a perfect man. He said a good man. He didn't say a righteous man. David said a good man. And if you know the story of David, David had so much blood on his hands that he wasn't allowed to build the temple. David had did so much disservice, but yet he did service for the Lord. What we thought was disservice, it was service unto the Lord. Because remember, David had a title that God gave him, a man after my own heart. No one could take that title away from David. No one, no human being. Because David said, Lord, you judge me and not man. Because he knew he wasn't going to get a righteous judgment from man. But he knew his judgment would be righteous before God. So, and going back and looking at the scripture this morning, and when Jesus says he's going away to prepare a place, and he's going to send another comforter in his hand, in his name. He didn't say he was going to send a comforter. He said he was going to send what? Another comforter. Now watch this. Watch this. And looking at that and comparing that with my life, I'm going to look at the Good Samaritan story. Many of you, I know you guys know the Good Samaritan story. It's written three places. In Luke, I like that story. When a pair of Pharisees said, Rabbi, Rabbi, what is the greatest commandment? He was trying to trick Jesus. And Jesus said, as you had read, and it is written, thou shalt love thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as you love thyself. And the second is no greater than the first. So he put loving yourself, loving your neighbor, and loving God is equal as loving God. Loving God with all your mind, all your body, all your soul. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So loving yourself and loving God is like this. But how can you love your neighbor if you don't love yourself? Now, remember, a good man's steps are ordered by the Lord. Though he stumble, he should not utterly be cast down. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to send you another comforter. That other comforter is what kept me through that 20-year prison experience. But then it wasn't that 20-year prison experience that kept me, really. It was that 40-year prison experience that God kept me. Because I've been in and out of incarceration. And, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy. My mind, and I was so distorted to whereas my thoughts were so distorted to whereas I found more comfort inside those walls as opposed to being outside those walls. I couldn't understand it. I couldn't understand it. But then I had to talk to the Lord. I was like Michael Jackson. He said, I'm looking at the man in the mirror and I'm asking him to, what, change his ways. And I looked in that mirror and the mirror at Greater Fort Worth and any one of them prisons at the police district, no matter where you go, it's plastic and it's flimsy. And what it does, it shows you a distortion of yourself. So when you go looking in that mirror, you can't really see you. You see one of the mirrors you see at the circus, wobbly, disfigured, you know, all that stuff there, a distortion. That's how I seen myself. But even through that distortion, I said, Lord, you got me. I said, Lord, you got me. I don't care what may happen to me. I knew that the Lord had me because I made peace. I made peace with me. I made peace with God. I said, Lord, I did a lot of stuff. I don't know why. it seemed as though, I don't know what it was. You know, I look at the news and I look at stuff going out there in the world. I look at these communities. I look at these youths today. And I'm like, what's going on, Lord? And a lot of the stuff I understand when it comes to these young boys acting up, these young girls acting up, I understand it. They want attention, you know, but they want more than attention. They want you to be that good Samaritan and stop by and say, come on, I got you. You all right. You all right. All right, you messed up. You made a bad choice. All right, come on, come on. You didn't make a mistake. You made a bad choice. That's what I used to tell the many men, young men and women who I used to counsel up in Philadelphia. They used to come straight from the county prison. And I mean, they'd be angry. They have their hopes up high while before they're anticipating on getting out. And when you get out, while you laying there, you got 1 week left, and you saying, you know, I'm going to get me a job, and I'm going to give my kids some money, and I'm going to buy them some shoes, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Me and my girl, we're going to ride out into the sunset and live happily ever after. But then when you get out, boom, reality hits you. You can't run like you wanted to run. Why? Because you still got those shackles on you. The parole board tell you to pay court cost and fine. But how you going to tell me to pay court cost and fine when you won't let me get a job? How you going to tell me? Then if I don't pay court cost and fine, then he's threatening to send me back to the prison. And then I want to spend some time with my child. You won't let me spend no time with my child because you said I got a curfew at 8 o'clock. Now, my child lives across the city. So by the time I get even to the subway, it's 7:20, it's 7:45. So it's no need of me going to see my child. So now, as days go by, I start thinking more about me than my child. And what happens is I start getting frustrated. And when I get frustrated, I go back to what I know. Jesus says, do not look back and put your hand through the plow. But many of us does it. We do because we say, Lord, I'm trusting you. I believe in you, Lord. I know you got me, Lord. But soon when you get up off your knees, that situation is still there. And you want to do something about your situation. What did I do? Going back to Raymond. Raymond said, you got to do something, man. You're 27 years old. You've been coming in and out of these places for years. And you just got 20 years. Now remember, 1983, I'm at that Camp Hill in the penitentiary, young boy. Didn't know how to read or write. Couldn't read or write. The man gave me this type of test with this machine. And I thought I knew everything and didn't know nothing. And I was so ashamed. White guy, and I dug this boy too, because he was real, he was thorough. He said, this is what I'm going to do. You're going to get your GED. And he worked with me, and he worked with me. He took his time and worked with me. I flunked the test once. I was hurt, but I got back up. A good man's steps are ordered by the Lord. I took the test twice, boom, flunked it. I got back up. I took it the third time. And I made it by 2 or 3 points. Boy, was I happy. But I wasn't doing it for me. I was doing it for my mother because of the shame and guilt that I had that I was a bad example all my life to her. So I would say, well, if I get my GED, my mom will love me more. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about when it comes to pleasing your parents or somebody that love you or somebody that have loved you over the years. You want to do something good in response to that love that they gave you. Well, that's going back to the scriptures again. He said, I'm going to send you another comforter. In order for us to be able to say, Lord, I surrender. Have your way. It's got to be only through the Holy Spirit. That other comforter. That other comforter. That other comforter is going to bring knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Somewhere in the book of Psalms it says, for the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And do I fear the Lord? Internally I do. because I'm grateful. I'm grateful. And as I conclude, because I only got a few minutes left, and I just want to say this, that it has been a journey for me. I'm still somewhat, I'm learning some things about Raymond. I'm still living in the area of trauma, but I'm not using that as no excuse. Uh-uh. That's an excuse. That's an excuse and a lie from the devil. I'm not living here. I'm stepping out of that. But I know that it takes work. God blesses people to bless you. See, anything that happened to you is really not for you. See, God knows that you could bear it. But he wants you to be a blessing to somebody else. And he will give you that spirit of boldness to speak. You know something? People say, Zig, they call me Ziggy, my last name Ziggler. So they say, Zig, man, you talk too much. I don't care. Okay. But I'm always trying to find out more about me. And I just want to say, I want to just thank EMU and the staff, especially Janelle, Maya Bonner. That woman stuck with me through all these years. I was incarcerated writing. I want to go to EMU. I want to come to EMU. When I got out, the state parole board wouldn't let me go. They said, I just wanted to just share this one thing. Okay, thank you. Oh, Lord. I don't know. Y'all quit playing. No. Okay. But I remember this parole officer came in my house. And this parole officer came in my house and talked to me and my mother and my wife like we wasn't nothing. And I told this lady, and I said, see, you ain't supposed to say nothing back to the parole people. I didn't care. I said, Miss, I don't care what the nature of my crime was, but you being very disrespectful and unprofessional, you are not going to sit here and talk to me, my mother, or my wife like we ain't nothing. Now do what you got to do. I had came to a resolve within myself to have to take me back to the penitentiary. My mom used to say that was my second home anyway. And she told me this since I was 8 or 9 years old. What is that to a child? That became part of me. So when I got tired of living in her house under her rules and regulations, I went to my other house and lived under their rules and regulations. When they say, count time, going down both sides, child, standing for count on your gate. Really? That's what I loved? But guess what? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I prayed. And I said, Lord, break these shackles up off of me. And hallelujah, they broke. Oh, thank you, Lord. And I thank the staff here. It's just so many people I can thank. I'm not going to name, but I met Howard in 1993. Young boy, going down to school, just being newsy. Who this dude with this camera taking pictures of the other brothers, the other lifers? And I went and asked him a question. That question brought me here today to EMU. 22 years ago. That question brought me to EMU, and I'm grateful. So I thank and praise God for this opportunity just to share just a little bit of my story. That 20 years was my ground of maturity. That was my covering. So I don't look at it as a penitentiary. I look at it as my institution of higher education. Thank you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Raymond. And I know you said to me right away when we met in late August, I want to be involved with the ministry here at EMU. So know that. If his story's connecting, I know he would respond favorably to an invitation to speak in class or with a club or just meet up. The question for all of us then is, what part of our life is in need of this other comforter Jesus sent? What part of our living and our relationships needs redemption? Is our life the very redemption, reflect the very redemption of Jesus? And how might it? I think we all are on that journey of maturation. Let's pray together. God, thank you this day for speaking through our brother Raymond, for speaking through the scripture passage. Help us to be open to considering, to realizing where we need the other comforter that Jesus sent, that you sent. God, open our souls to those places that are hurting, the places needing maturation of faith, a deepening of a sense of identity grounded in your love, the place needing redemption. And continue to call each one of us to being present to those around us, like the Good Samaritan, the one saying, you're okay, get up, let's go, let's keep walking. May we be your light in the world as much as we're able. Empower us this day and through the rest of this semester and the rest of our lives. And we thank you for it. In the name of Christ, amen. It's good to be gathered, go into the day and into the rest of the semester with the joy of the love of Christ.